Sunday night shiur for ladies. Shana Vodazal Kim, Perik Dalid, Veroy Lono Lavor Tzura Sahara Toria. We're going to explain now more specifically the laws of the Torah. We explained they represent values, but they are essential also, and he went through all of the reasons why they're essential. The Chalkei HaTorah, Umailos Anshei HaChochma, Talmid Chachamim, and what it means to know Torah, and what they know, the Emunosam Ba, their belief in Torah, to what degree they believe. We'll see, he'll explain everything. Could people even skip those parts? But Omar, I will say, Ki Hahara Toria Hi Chazon Meis Elokim. It's very basic stuff. We'll quickly get to we can sink our teeth into more. But he starts off like he's building a building. So he says, you know, Ha'ara Toria, what is this Torah inspiration that I talked about till now? It's the Torah. It's a Chazon Meis Elokim. It's a Nevuah from Hashem. Hashem appeared and expressed his will, gave us the Torah. Adidei ish ben yadam, through a person whose name was Moshe Rabbeinu. B'meshehu tov b'einov mehem ba'avodaso. What specifically he would like people to do to show their hakaras atov. L'gomlo mal kabalosa, and give them schar for kabalos haTorah, for accepting it. K'mul b'olam hazeh u'v'olam haba. Chesed unudova v'tova. Because, as he'll explain, Chazal love his views that we never really deserve Olam Haba, because we're always behind, because we didn't deserve to become created. So, like, we get like a treadmill, you never catch up, because we're always behind. Because how do you thank Hashem for creating you? And then everything you do is only because He's enabling you to do it. So, okay. But Torah cholekas ma'aseh b'nei adam l'shlosha chalakim. Tzivui v'azhara u'muter. And this really will develop and will actually change as we go through the next few pages. Because technically there's the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah lo saseh, and then things that are neither here nor there. They're mutter to do, they're not asur, but they're not a mitzvah to do. He ends up saying that there's really no such thing. You're either doing Ratzon Hashem or you're not doing Ratzon Hashem. There's really no middle ground. If you do something that brings you closer to Hashem, you're doing the Ratzon Hashem. And if you do something that's bringing you further from Hashem, it's not the Ratzon Hashem. And somehow you have to look in the mirror unflinchingly and saying Hashem wants me to do this. It's a little easier after we learned Shar HaBitachon, and we learned that Hashem wants people to busy themselves with what seems to be the causes of the world. You want to have money, you want to have whatever you want to have, whatever you want to accomplish. So even though it's completely up to Hashem if it'll happen or not, but he wants people to be mis'aseik, he calls it besibos, to busy themselves with those channels through which the shefa of Shemayim will come. So ironically is the right word. So interestingly enough, he turns it around and he says, well, and that makes a person an Eved Hashem the whole day. We talked about this a lot. That let's say I go to work, I work 8 hours a day, I earn money. So if, and then I learn 3 hours a day. So most people really have the mindset, the 3 hours belong to Hashem, and the 8 hours belong to me. Chavis HaLova says, no. Why are you working 8 hours for? Hashem decreed how much money you're going to have, if you're going to have parnosah, if you're not going to have parnosah, if you're going to have bread to eat in the house. And you'll have that no matter what. Or you won't have it no matter what. Whatever the case may be. So what are you wasting 8 hours a day for? The answer is, because we live in a world that very clearly Hashem demands that we do things. And then Chavis HaLovas gives the day. He says, everybody understands that you're sitting at a table and you're staring at the bread that's there and you don't pick up your hand. Everybody understands you're not allowed to do that. You'll starve to death because you did the wrong thing. You're supposed to pick up your hand and take it. Says, everybody understands you have to chew the bread. No one's going to say, hold the bread in your hand, and Hashem, if he wants you to be nourished by the bread, Hashem will give the chanetz already, as Hashem certainly is capable of doing. But that's not... Hashem wants a world in which... So he says, you see, you have to pick up the bread. You have to chew it. You have to bring it to your mouth. You have to chew it. You have to swallow it. That's all hishtadlus. You see, hishtadlus is everything we do. So we're clearly living in a world where Hashem wants us to do, even though our doing is not real, is not really the cause of the... Not really the cause. It's the tzinor, it's the channel through which it happens, but it's not really the cause. The cause is Hashem's gzeira, Hashem's will. Almost counterintuitively, this works to our benefit. Because then you say, so what are you doing it for? I'm doing it because Hashem wants me to do it. Oh, not that these 8 hours belong to me and the 3 hours belong to you, Hashem. But everything belongs to you. I'm only doing this because you want me to do it. I'm really wasting my time. Really, I'm wasting my time. But you want this, and the Kavis Alolus explained in Shaar Bitochon why Hashem wants it. He wants it because that's the battleground of Bechira, you may remember. He wants it because people who are not busy get into trouble, so you have to keep busy. He talked about what about the tzaddik that keeps busy with Torah. What is he supposed to do? What about the Rosh Batovlo? But Lamaisa, you are doing it because it's Hashem's will. So it's really, that fits into the way he develops the thought now. This is before Shaar HaBitachon. This is the groundwork of Bitachon. So he says there's mitzvah, tzivu yashora umutter. A mitzvah saseh, a mitzvah slay saseh, and things that are mutter. But then it like metamorphoses and it becomes like no such thing. There's really no such thing. We can have a mitzvah and a veira, which we don't usually, so we used to, there's 248 mitzvahs and 365 aveiras. But he says, it's limitless. I'm either doing the Ratzon Hashem or I'm not doing the Ratzon Hashem. Whether we're baking a cake or filling up the car with gears or whatever we do. We can't hide from Hashem. So it's either Ratzon Hashem or it's not the Ratzon Hashem. So there really is no gray area. There's things that Hashem didn't make into a codified objective mitzvah. Because, Hashem's not going to give a mitzvah to fill up your car with gears. Then everybody will run to fill up the car with gears. A very easy mitzvah. It's a mitzvah if in context it's the Ratzon Hashem. So really most of our day is made up of, he says it's not a gray area because you're either taking a step this way or you're taking a step that way. But it really is, it's a gray area in the sense it's not a mitzvah, it's not an aveira. It's something that one person can do it and it could be the biggest mitzvah in the world. Another person can do it, it could be an aveira. So, okay, but now he says, tzivui v'azhora umuter. V'aleinu l'v'arato. Batzivui mischalik l'shnei chalokim echad mehem mitzvos halavavos v'im advarim asher yitochnu ke'emunos hakel yichud hakel yosu halev. What, you have it?
It says
emunos halev. No, it's okay, emunos halev, yichud hakel, yosu halev shalem imo batuach olav, bitachon himosir olav, ready to be mosir nefesh for Hashem. Doesn't really necessarily mean mesiras nefesh the way we think of it in the dramatic way. It means we're willing to devote ourselves to Him. Himosrela means we're devoted to Him. Ritzos b'gezeirasa, we accept His will. We accept things He does. He controls everything, and we accept that as His will. The hemen b'neviyav u'v'torasa. The yoro also yiras Hashem shmar mitzvoso v'machshava b'pliyosa. You have to go shar habachina. You have to go observe nature and see things and be in amazement of His world that He created.
This volcano, amazing.
והבחינו בתובוסוב, that שער הבחינו, והרבה כזה ממה שירח סיפורם, for libraries with them. That's mitzvahs halavavos. Umehen mitzvahs halavavos v'hevorim yachtov. You'll notice the chayvus halavavos does not want to say that there's chayvus halavavos and then chayvus hevorim. He always describes the hevorim as having lev too, because the empty shell of just the ma'aseh mitzvah is certainly extremely undesirable. You get a mitzvah, but it's like a waste. It's like leman lo niga lo rik velo neled la behala. Like we're wasting our time. We could be doing so much more. We're doing like an empty shell.
Can I ask again? Does lev mean like the brain? Does lev mean like
lev is in Tanakh. In Tanakh, in the lashon of the Mikra, lev is the coming together of raw intelligence and things like instinct and understanding and values and like the lev like puts it all together. Raw intelligence is in the head, that's where the brain is, but the lev understands. Bina's belev, the lev delves into and decides how to apply it. That would be a function of the lathe. Maybe the raw, you know, the software's in the brain. Maybe
it's not regesh.
It's a combination of regesh and seichel. The pure regesh is emotion. We don't want to be governed by that. But it's like the combination of the ha'ara sichlis and ha'ara taranis. It's where you put everything together and you. And you say this is, it's a fuller picture. It's the lathe and it's the guf and the nefesh sort of coming together. That's called lathe. Now the truth is in the Chumash and in Tanakh it talks about chacham lathe. It doesn't talk about chacham rosh, chacham moach, because raw intelligence doesn't get you very far. You could be. He can be very smart, you know, and then not be a good person at all. So I'm pointing out. He says mitzvahs halavavos v'ha'evorim. That always goes together. Ki yichud haloshen amalev. Kriya sefer Torah, learning Torah, davening, tzom, fasting, tztoka. Tztoka has to be a chayvus halavavos also. Like I was saying tonight in the shul, because according to some countings, tonight's Kinyan Torah is Avas Chesed. Tov Lev, Betov Lev, that's the Lashon. In the Kinyani Torah, Betov Lev. So the Chavetz Chaim points out, you know, it says in Micha, Moshe Melkech Kim Asos Mishpot V'Avas Chesed. He says it doesn't say asos chesed. It's not enough to do chesed. You have to love chesed. You have to have a lev tov. The Torah, like here, is right, a really explicit place where the Torah demands chayvus halvavus also, in addition to the chayvus guf. It says gift stalker, and it says v'lo yeira levavcha besit chalo. The Torah cares about how you feel when you give stalker. Don't give it grudgingly. That's a lav. You can be over if you give it grudgingly. So here there's a hakpod on chayvus halvavos. So it's a very good example of that, of halvavos and a regular, you know, ritual put together. So he says tzedakah, he calls that combination. Tzedakah is like almost openly in the pasuk. V'hashvisu min hamasim b'shabbos u'mu'adim. Not doing workshops and yontiv, asol sukkah lulav tzitzos chadoyim alazeh. So again, he categorizes mitzvahs as having two parts: mitzvahs halavavos and mitzvahs hayvorim / levavos. Right? The Torah never descends into pure ma'aseh, pure hayvorim. The Zohar is chalek as gavkin v'shnei chalokim, echad mehem chayvus halvavos, v'sheni chayvus hayvorim, also same chilek. The Zohar shebchayvus halvavos is b'shituf v'mabori b'seisur v'chonef, to give credence to another power other than Hashem. So that sounds terrible, and like we would never dream of doing that. But anytime we try to, we fight City Hall a little too much, we're maybe guilty of this, thinking we can change things. Don't you say I can change things with tefillah? That's okay. But I can change things with going to a better doctor. That's a little more problematic.
Is the Rav saying if something doesn't go your way, you should just say, okay, it's Rosh Hashem? Because it's
some
that Hashem wants you to work harder.
Right. Absolutely. But at some point, yeah. The Chavis Haldol says at some point. Now, if you want to know at what point, we talked about that. You want to know at what point? So I say at the point where a lot of negativity is being created. A person gets depressed, can't function. Because, so, a person, it ruins, it affects the whole family. Like, everybody is afraid to laugh or to have a good time because mommy is sad. Or if it affects your relationships with your friends, with your spouse, if it affects your avodas Hashem, you can't daven, you're not besimcha. I think that's the warning sign. When the negativity, you know, you're miyachel for something. Let's say someone is not getting married, someone's not getting engaged. So they have pitachon and they daven and they give tzedakah, they say shirim 40 days, so you say, well, at some point, the Chavis Haldol says this, at some point you say, Hashem in his wisdom, this is what's best for me. Hashem wants me to be alone, right? The biggest gedolim didn't have children, right? The Satmar Rebbe, the Lubavitch Rebbe didn't have children. So I don't know when that point is reached. There's no objective answer. I have two answers. There's no answer, so I have two of them. One is when it starts to ruin your life. I think that's a good answer, because Hashem certainly doesn't want that. So when the person's obsession with I'm going to spend the whole day davening, if a person does that, let's say, and there's mazniach their children, of course they're so into what they're doing. So that's the warning sign when it creates negativity. That's answer number one. My second answer is that, you know, you sit around a table and we talk theory, we ask kashas, we're like a learning group. But I maintain that if someone indeed is a Baal Bitachon and went through the 7 things of the second perek and went through the 5 things of the third perek and went through the kakdama and really developed bitachon, I could promise you, I'm not saying I am, that the person will instinctively know when to stop. You see, we're sitting here talking like, so it's a good question. It's like an intellectual question, and I don't have an objective answer, even though I tried to give one, but it doesn't really, it's not a complete answer. Maybe it's a shtickle answer, but not a complete one. But I don't think it's, I think 80 to 90% of the time the question won't be asked. If a person has internalized that Hashem cares about him or her, and Hashem only wants what's best for him or her, and Hashem loves him or her, and nothing can stop Hashem from doing whatever he wants, and all the things. So they could say, I have to daven harder, like the Ramban I always say over by Rachel Imenu. All Hashem wanted is you should daven harder. That's what it says about the Imahos. So we never know. Or you work on Midos, you Masak in Midos, you become a better person, people change. So maybe that's what Hashem wanted the whole time. We don't know. We talk and don't know. So you work and you work and you work. But the Chavis Haldol definitely says that at some point you say, it's a Rosh Hashem. It's not really up to me. It's not up to me. Our friend in Chicago.
Yes.
So she finally gets married. You read it? She wrote an article on age.com. You read it?
Mm-hmm.
So she got married and she's flying high. She's like best friends with Hashem. And then she gets pregnant. pretty much right away after she gets married, and she's like, "Mom is flying high." And then and she has a miscarriage, and then she says, "You know, what is Hashem?" And she writes on age.com. You can read the article. She writes very like, "What is Hashem playing games with me? Like, what's going to get pregnant?" And then she goes down. And she starts talking to people. A lot of people have miscarriages. It's not such an unusual thing. And Hashem maybe just wanted to show her right away that she can get pregnant because she's older, and maybe you can't get pregnant. So other of us, like, can get pregnant. Huh? And there's people who don't even get pregnant, right? So she knows she can get pregnant, and she should look at it that way. And she works on it for like a few months. And she lifts herself out of her sadness, depression, and she goes back to having bitachon, and she was like really bitachon oriented, but then, you know, life is not always the way we want it to be. So then that was a very intense person, and then she gets pregnant again, and this time she's terrified. She writes it to you, she writes the article, and she's terrified, and now she doesn't know what to do. Like, She's scared to have bitachon. Right? She's scared to have bitachon. She's just plain scared. But you're not supposed to be scared. That's not right. So she doesn't know what. So she writes how she dealt with it, and then she has another miscarriage, and like she's smashed for months. She's like, so you know, what's left? What's left? You have bitachon, smash. You're terrified, smashed. Like, so what do you say? See, we're talking about, what does Hashem want? So, you know, Hashem, we don't know. As I talked about Shabbos, Vayidom Aaron, you don't know what Hashem wants. We're not privy to that. So then you work on really. If you internalize the seven things, so you just say, you know, you have to. The hardest thing in the world, I said, is to make a Dayan Emes Basimcha. I to this day, I don't, you know, it's just. So I, because Basimcha doesn't mean, it means you have to feel Simcha, you have to feel happy. But you make it a Dayan Emes, it like belies the words. You're not making a Tova Meitiv. You're saying a tragedy happened to me, so you're calling it a tragedy with all the full import of those words. You're not like looked up in a dictionary the word tragedy. You feel, but Dianemus, this is the Midas Adin. So where's the simcha supposed to come from? So it comes from that acceptance of Ratzon Hashem. You know, you say that there's an acceptance that we learn out that a Jew has to have, an acceptance of Hashem's will. And that's where the simcha could come from. It's very, very hard. Avoda. The simcha could come from. It's an amazing madrega. You know, I'm happy that Hashem's will happened. I'm happy that Hashem expressed his will. But okay, we're going a little off track. At some point you say that. At some point you say it's Hashem's will. You know, I'm saying you know it instinctively. You know, instinctively. A person that's developed in bitachon will instinctively feel atkan. Now, again, maybe the two terutz are really combined. You know, if you don't say atkan and you continue to daven and to get stuck on, to look for schusim and to this, that's all good. No one's going to complain. You're not going to. But if the inability to say atkan leads to depression and to lack of shalom bias and to resentment and to anger and to this happens. I mean, this happens every day. I'm not saying like chidushim. We people who don't cope with frustration, people who don't cope with disappointments, people who. So they go to pieces. People in economic downturns, they go to pieces. You know, you're not supposed to go to pieces in the face of bigger tragedies. You're not supposed to go to pieces. That's what Shem Shemuel Hirsch said. I said, "Oh, you tear kriya, but you're not allowed to tear your skin because it's for it chitzaynius. It's not you. You are never. You know, sometimes you could be affected. A person gets sick. I answered you the best as I could.
Thank you.
But I still maintain that it's not." You, it's good you asked the question and I gave an answer, but I really want to express very strongly the answer. The question and answer does not lie in an intellectual. I really believe this. It does not lie in an intellectual exchange such as we're having, where you ask a question and you get an answer, and we want to know like where on the timeline does it become. Okay, Ratzon Hashem, time to stop davening. That's not, it's experiential. If a person believes Hashem loves me, and Hashem knows what's best for me, and Hashem is wiser than me and smarter than me, and Hashem only wants what's good for me, and Hashem, nothing can stop Hashem from carrying out his will, and there's no other power in the world other than Hashem, and Hashem is very involved in my life, and Hashem knows everything that's happening to me, and Hashem will do chesed with me even if I don't deserve it, right? You go through all of those things. I say you develop a instinctive sense. Once you're on that madrega, you've internalized Perek Beis and Perek Gimel of Shaar Bitachon, you instinctively know where you're holding. And you say, okay, it's Hashem's getting annoyed with me now. It sounds funny because, like, why should I ever say that? Maybe Hashem wants me to dive in more. There's no real answer. I say you instinctively know. Instinctively know, let up. Sometimes you can let up for a month, you know? Sometimes you let up for a month and you let it ride and you come back and you with vigor. But definitely a warning sign as if your house was going to pieces. That's definitely not the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, so then you have Azhara. The Azhara Mitzchalik is Gamkin, the Shnei Chalokim, Chovas Halvavas, Vashenich Chovas Eivorim. Shituf, right? Avos Asos, Mashiach Gemel Soso. You do what Hashem told you not to do. Gaiva, Gaiva, different words for Gaiva. Bagoin. You know, really, we should sit here and figure out the synonyms of these words. Pompousness, arrogance, being condescending towards other people. These are all shades of meaning here. Uvazos b'nei yodam, mocking other people, b'lag v'neviyim, b'lidvorm ha'boim, me'elikim al-lashonam, this is all chavis halvavis. Umoz b'tov ba'anoshav, umutso koras ruach, b'mirim, it sounds funny, but there's people, it's called not faginin, and if something bad happens to someone, you feel like a sort of a joy. I'm afraid it's a psychological phenomenon. That's true. Kino chemda avosaral of neyodam v'skatzav al gzeres habori. You get angry at Hashem. You resent Hashem. V'harbe kazeh. Achovas oivorim. So then we know what you're not allowed to do. Rechilus achilus iser bilus asura shvichas domim v'harbe kazeh. Okay. V'hamuter. Now he's going to get into the kishkas of things that are mutter, but not asur, but not a mitzvah. Mitzchalik l'shloisha chalokim. Dei hasipuk, you do exactly the correct measured amount of whatever it is you're doing. You're talking, you're sleeping, you're eating. These are all things that are mutter to do. So you can either do enough for a riboy, or too much for a kitzer, or too little. Right? That's how he categorizes it. You're either going to do too much or too little or just enough. What is Dei HaSipuk? What are we talking about? Umashi Yefshalodim Lamo, the land of what you need, what you need to survive. But Tekonos Gufo, Van Hogas and Yonav, Kamo Hamozon, Machol, Mishte, Malbush, clothing, Michse, shelter. But Dibur, what's enough Dibur? Mashu tzorich elav, what you need to conduct your daily life. Beseder in Yonov, Upulosov, Uschorosov, Vishtamshum, Bechominate, Nuosov, Vishigach Men, Kdeasipo, Kanachona, Ashebran, Yikon, and Yono, what you need in measure. Moshe Marakosov, Tovish, Honin, Umalve, Yechalkal, Dvoro, Bemishpot, in a measured amount. Okay, so that's, you measure out, and this is what you need. V'achelek hasheni, it's not osur, we wouldn't think of it as being osur. We're thinking of it, he's going to explain, you know, maybe you're not going to want to use the word osur, but it's not the Ratzon Hashem, it puts you further from Hashem. So ribui, more than you need. Vu avor gvul de hasipuk, crossing the borderline from enough or what you need. Elatosefes, things you don't need. Asher ein tzorech b'lo adam kmo haribui min hamachal u'mishte u'kvor hizu mimenu achochom ba'omru al tehi b'so ve'ayayin b'zolulei b'osar lamo v'chein shi'af l'gliskashet b'malbushim. Uh-oh, talking to women. What's too much? I don't know. Everything is according to the door, right? I never met a woman that had anything to wear. They never had anything to wear. They have a closet full of clothing, they never had anything to wear.
But even in food.
Right. So first of all, there's no question that, I said, you know, need is going to change according to the door. We don't live in one room houses anymore. They lived in one room houses and their oven was in the courtyard. And they shared an oven with the neighbors. We have different lifestyles. We need more. But at some, again, we need bigger houses. We need more clothing. We need, you know, my father, Oliver Shalom, the second wife. My mother was Nifter. So she was rich. She had like three dresses. Most people had two dresses. She had three. But now, you know, whatever there's nothing wrong. It's not a question of numbers. It's a question of need. If the need nowadays has shifted our perception of what we need, so that's okay. That's also Hashem's doing. As long as there's some. It's a need, right? I mean, maybe you need an outside person, so to speak, to make that determination. So we'll say, I need a jacuzzi. Do you really need this? You know. But there's no question that the definition of need can expand according to the door and according to the.
It also depends on how society is set up.
Yeah, but that's sometimes a tough call, because sometimes you want to keep up with the Joneses, and that's not such a good thing.
People didn't need refrigerators because the milk was delivered to the door every day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with saying that the definition of the word need expands.
And now you can't do that so easily anymore. So
yeah, people can't imagine being without a cell phone. They can't imagine being without one. Okay, so he's saying too much is no good. Malbushim, umarchiv b'mishkanim l'loy doichak, big houses, or maybe many houses. Umosre hadvarim asher einenu botech shlo yikoshel bohen. Right, he can't be sure that it won't be used for ruchniyastika things. Kamo shamar achochem, brov dvarim lo yechtal pesha. He's asking for trouble. V'chein haroyo zoyno isiyo v'eit hoin v'yomor al titin l'noshim cheylecho v'amor b'melech l'yabaloi noshim. We extrapolate from the lavim of a melech that you're not supposed to have a ribuy of things. It's very, very dangerous territory. V'yishman yeshurin v'yivot v'shtadlus b'ro v'akinyon v'kibut tamomon. You work hard to amass a lot of money, more than what you need. Because Kolma shezachayinu b'takonos ha'guvos v'na'osu m'gunum b'achronom m'pnei sh'meivi odom al mashiz rabo yimenu. So here he's just talking about it hooks up a person to gashmius and it makes him, you keep wanting more and more and eventually it will come to sin. He still didn't get up to the point where he like changes his whole perspective. And so it says, okay, we'll stop here.
What is kalkola?
What?
We always say parnasa of kalkola, but what is kalkola?
Parnasa.
What's parnasa? When we say
having money, having possessions. He says too little, he's going to say, too little is no good, either. It's like too much is no good, too little is no good. The famous Chazal says, except for two things.